opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is time for everybody's favorite game, Who Said It?, where BMAC's going to read to us quotes from ESPN 97.5 personalities. We're not going to cheat. And then we're going to have to guess who said these quotes. We were 2 for 5 last week, if memory serves.
No, you got three right.
We had a great run late after you screwed us up.
You missed the first two and then got 3 in a row.
That's right. I thought we missed the fifth one for some reason.
Come on.
So 3 for 5. That shows you how much you know this matters to me. But it's good. Let's try to get 3 and 5 again. Let's try to get more.
Seriously.
Let's try to get more right. I don't have a crap attitude. I love this game. I just didn't remember how many we had last week. A lot has happened between now and then. All right, BMAC, let's get us started. Let's get us started with quote number one here.
All right, quote number one. The nerds are coming at them with the knives. To make an Italy reference, like all those nerdy-ass senators who came after my boy Julius Caesar.
That sounds like a gallant quote.
You think so?
Gallant loves to talk.
I have no clue.
Paul has, like, the widest range of things he talks about. Mm-hmm. He always mentions different nations, and he always, like, brings up historical figures.
Okay. BMAC, what's our goal this week?
3.
I would say 4. You got 3 last week. I think you should try to beat it.
You said 3. He said 4.
If you aim for the moon and you fall short, you'll still be amongst the stars.
Thanks, Casey Kasem.
If you only want to do what you did last week, that's fine.
All right. Well,
I'm totally fine with that.
I'm good with leaving it at 3.
I'm
because
fine
Branham,
going to 3.
But look,
is that
going
to change the way you answer this question, though? Wanting 3 or 4?
Well, yeah, because I gave you 2 chances to succeed last week, and you failed miserably, and then I salvaged the weekend.
Who do you think it was?
I don't really have a clue, but I like how adamant you are. I just, again, I'm kind of gauging what I've got in the tank before I go and just immediately say, we'll go with what you say. Yeah. But because we're good teammates, or at least I am, I will say I'm going to go with you then. If you believe Paul that adamantly that quickly, let's go with Paul.
It just sounds like something Paul would say. Let's go with Paul Gallant.
The nerds are coming at him with the knives.
Yeah. You know, it's no doubt.
Like an Italy reference. Like all those nerdy-ass senators.
Hey, there you
came
go.
Back
good teamwork.
I mean,
good
Julius
call.
Caesar.
I know Paul quotes because Paul always talks about foreign countries and Paul always talks about historical figures. I might not know anything else, but I can detect a Paul quote when I see one.
And I can go with you, understanding that I felt the passion. I felt you were adamant. I believed that you had the belief, so I went with you.
Basically called my shot.
That was a
last
nice
week
job,
you
Jeremy.
Did.
The I got to give you credit for that. You picked that out right away.
All right.
Last week you called 2 shots in a row that kind of...
When it's Paul, I feel pretty good. Right. Like the JB Bambino.
You, Brendan? you taking over? You got a poster now?
The Paul Gallant whisperer.
No, I just have quotes on in my wall. Right. I use that to decorate my room.
You got quotes from Paul Gallant on your wall?
Yeah, I do.
And how's your wife like that?
Not the biggest fan.
Okay.
Not the biggest fan.
All right.
But she likes Paul more than I care to admit. I'm just kidding.
Must be the mustache.
Quote number 2.
All right. Quote number 2. Puke blood scenario. That's what that is. That's not a nightmare. That's a puke blood scenario. The combination of Bryce Young going to the Colts and then Will Levis being selected over C.J. Stroud, I would throw up blood if this occurred.
That's a wheelhouse one. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt about it.
They're anti-Will Levis. And they're also, I don't know many people would say puke blood other than the wheelhouse.
I agree with that, too. And Lance loves him some Chris Ballard because they're boys.
Yeah, he doesn't love Levis.
No, I could but he loves Ballard.
I could see like Lance having this opinion, but not using that language.
Not puke blood. I agree with that.
Not using that language. One more time, BMAC, so we can try to figure out which wheelhouse boy it was.
Sure. Puke blood scenario. That's what that is. That's not a nightmare. That's a puke blood scenario. The combination of Bryce Young going to the Colts and then Will Levis being selected over C.J. Stroud, I would throw a blood if this occurred.
I think it's a reaction. I don't think that's a Jake set him up.
I don't think it's the fighting leprechaun. I think it's
either
one
the
of
middle
the
one
two.
Or the end guy.
Yep.
I don't know which one, though. I really don't.
Boy, yeah, I could see both of them saying it, too.
Yeah,
it's not Creighton, right?
That's a good point. I will go no. I'll go no on that. I believe this is a Wheelhouse original. This is a Wheelhouse joint.
What was the wild card that I was thinking
Yeah, that's
about?
A pretty good wild card. I could see Creighton saying puke blood.
I could, too. That's why I just want to make sure that we're as we talk this through, we make the best decision in the.
But who's more likely
best interest of the franchise?
But who's more likely to talk mock drafts?
Oh, I think Pat would, especially right now because it's a prevalent conversation.
We need to figure out a way to talk mock drafts, riveting 713-7. That's not a mock draft though.
He has plenty. Yeah, because it's either BK, Cody, or PC in my mind.
I want to go Wheelhouse, though.
Oh, well, okay. Again, you got the first one right, so I'm going to be a good teammate.
Puke blood? I don't feel like that's cheesy enough for BK to say. I think puke blood's a cheesy phrase that Cody would say. Yeah. I really don't think BK would resort to saying something as cheesy as puke blood.
Let's go. Cody Stutes.
All right, Cody Stutes.
Puke blood scenario.
Yes!
That's what that is.
Puke blood?
That's not a nightmare. That's a puke blood scenario.
Those are like my tells. If it's countries, historic figures, Paul. If it's something cheesy, Stutes. So we're 2 for 2. All right, let's go to quote number 3.
All right, good job, guys. Next one up.
Patronizing us. Good job, guys.
I can't congratulate you. My bad. I should have been harsher on you.
We don't like words of affirmation.
I would like a little more love in the tone, but I like it. It's fine.
All right, it's fine. I'll stop telling you it's perfect after the pre-show videos.
I would like a little more love in the tone, but I liked it. It was nice.
It was more the cadence, I think.
Yeah, I know you were big on that last week, Jeremy, too.
Good job, guys.
Good job, guys.
All right, moving on. I'm going to read this like a robot for you. All right, next quote. Is this a Julius Caesar situation? You guys remember that Shakespeare dude? When Brutus and his friends killed Caesar, they wanted to speak to the crowd first to try to convince them that it was the right move. But it was the guys who spoke last who convinced the commoners that it was a bad move. That's the end of the quote. I will tell you, this is in reference to whether or not it's better to speak to Sean Payton first or last.
Man, would he use the same guy?
Would Johnny G say that?
That reads like a Paul Gallant quote. Read it one more time for us.
Sure.
My bad.
Seriously?
Is this a Julius Caesar situation? You guys remember that Shakespeare dude? When Brutus and his friends killed Caesar, they wanted to speak to the crowd first to try to convince them it was the right move. But it was the guys who spoke last who convinced the commoners it was a bad move.
I'm gonna go on the side that he's not going to use Paul twice. Especially, I think the first quote even mentioned Caesar, right? Didn't the first quote mention Caesar? I don't think BMAC would use the same person using Caesar twice. I don't think that Granato says dude.
Oh, I think he would.
Does he?
Yeah, but I think BK
leaning BK.
BK would be next in line if you're adamant that you don't think that he would use Paul twice. Because I wouldn't put it past that guy right there, dude.
I just don't think he would use this. Was Caesar in the first quote?
He was. Yes.
I don't think he would use the same person using Caesar reference twice. I really don't. Because for me, it read like a Paul quote, but because of that...
Why wouldn't it have been the same segment or a carryover segment where he continued to talk?
I just don't think that BMAC would have cut that up to be Paul's second quote. I think it's BK.
I think it's BK. I can go with you on BK. Hey,
if I'm fooled here,
but just be aware,
BMAC.
Yes.
Okay. I'll tip my cap to BMAC right. If I'm wrong.
Final answer,
BK. If he outpokers us here, fantastic. But I think it's BK.
Is this a Julius Caesar situation?
There we go.
That Shakespeare dude?
3 for 3.
Brutus and his friends killed.
Yeah, I just didn't
Caesar.
Feel like I didn't feel like you would use
call
Caesar
it,
twice.
Don't call it. I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not jinxing it. Let's go.
Three for three.
Met the quota. Let's go. What do you got, B-Man?
All right. Quote number 4. If I'm on the lam, I'm not going on a TV show. That's just me, though. That's just me.
If I'm on a limb,
lamb. If I'm on the lam, I'm not going on a TV show. That's just me, though. That's just me.
What's that in reference to?
I have no idea.
Well, if I told you the reference, it would give it away. But going on the lam basically means like trying to avoid the police.
Who would be hip enough to use that term?
That could come from the bench.
Could be the news of the weird.
Also, Phil. Ooh, that's a good point.
Could be Lance responding on news of the weird.
The double quote there at the end is kind of throwing me off. He said, "That's just me. That's just me."
That's what he said.
The double, like, saying, like, repeating himself so quickly, that's kind of a Jake thing.
Or a Creighton thing. It's kind of a New York thing.
I don't think the quote would have been that short for Creighton.
Or that quiet.
We can't read tone.
I'm just kidding.
I kind of like your first thought, though, with the...
It's either Lance or Jake, okay? That's what we narrowed it down.
You don't think it could be Granato?
I think it could be. I think it's a news of the weird topic.
I'm cool going Lance here.
Lance?
I'm cool going Lance. You cool going Lance?
Yeah, we'll go with Lance.
All right, let's go Lance Erline.
I don't know if I'm on the lam.
Oh, it was John.
I'm not going on a TV show.
That's just me, though.
That's just me. I'm just not doing that.
Yep. And gut feeling was there. I steered myself out of it. I do that a lot.
That's all right. We're
I was hoping to go undefeated, but all right.
That's all right. Let's we've already met our quota.
The goal of 4 is still
there. No, the goal is 3. Let's try to get 4, though. Let's try to go above
Our aspirations were four. You set the goal at three.
If you want to set the bar low, that's on you. All right, last quote. I'm super mad that I went to the Jason Isbell concert, that they gave me too many drinks. It made me get sick and throw up outside my car like I was in high school, where I had to roll down the window and my wife made me throw up while she was driving.
Well, the wheelhouse is out. Paul is out.
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds like Lance.
It sounds like PC.
I don't think he went to the Jason Isbell concert.
Who is Jason Isbell?
I have no clue. Couldn't tell you, but I know PC.
Are we allowed to look it up?
No, I don't touch my computer this because the Twitchers like to.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we
that's
had a controversy last week when you went to your phone.
Yeah, and I'm not going anything. I'm not even putting on my glasses. Who is Jason Isbell?
He's a musician, I'm pretty sure.
Well, okay, thanks.
I think he's. No,
that's literally all I know.
Thanks for breaking it down for me.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you anymore. I literally had to Google who it was.
You want his top
hits? Like what genre? Because the genre could lead me in one direction or the other.
I could be totally off on this, but I think it's like.
We have not used Lance yet. We have not used PC, right?
No.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like romantic pop. Like I know that's not like a real genre, but kind of like that mold where it's kind of who's the dude I'm talking like Mayer? What's his name?
John Mayer.
John Mayer. Like he's a poor man's John.
Extremely talented.
I want to say that Isbell is a poor man's John Mayer. Okay. I could be totally wrong, and I probably am because I don't have a musical bone in my body and I know nothing about music. But I feel like Isbell, if I had to guess, is like a John Mayer, poor man's John Mayer, where he sings like that kind of poppy, lovey, like that type of music. You know what? He could be a country western guy. He could be a little good old fashioned Texas country with a cold beer, and we know that Lance Erlein likes his Texas country. I think he might be a Texas country guy.
We narrowed it down to Pat and Lance. At least I did.
Here's the thing with Pat. Pat like is pretty active on like what he goes to, because I remember he went to that comedian show.
He's a banger. He's a headbanger.
But I don't think that Isbell is a headbanger rock and roll guy. But who's the dude that was in town the other day? The comedian that uses the puppet. The ventriloquist?
I don't know either,
but Patrick was talking about it all the time. And he actually made a reference, because I think ESPN 97.5, the social media account, I actually think Patrick put it together, where he was comparing Cal McNair to like the ventriloquist.
The dummy.
And then, yeah, he was the dummy, and then Hannah was the one that used him. So I think we would have heard if Patrick Creighton went to an Isbell concert. I think this is Lance. And I'm starting to think that Isbell's more country.
But what's to say that Pat and his wife don't also have a wide genre of musical interest and he would go to that concert?
I think we would have heard about it. I think we would have seen it on social media because he talks about where he goes and stuff like that.
I don't feel strongly about this.
These are only ESPN 97.5 personalities, right? It couldn't be Mr. Gal. It couldn't be anything
like
that.
No, it's not
right?
Mr. Gal who happens to be in studio.
All right. So I want to say Lance.
And I want to say Pat, but again, we've been winning with me deferring.
Pat.
Okay.
Where's your level of confidence?
You're very fired up about this.
So you don't have a level of confidence here?
I'm confident we've got it down to the right two.
Okay, but you're not a very high
degree of confidence. I don't think Granato says this, and I don't think Granato.
All right, let's
Granato
go Lance.
Goes out drinking.
Let's go, Lance.
I'm super mad that when I went to the Jason Isbell concert.
We worked that out as a team all day today.
Too many drinks.
That's a pretty good result there.
That's now, four out of five.
Let's figure out who Jason Isbell is.
Yeah, who is that?
I had to Google it, too. I'd never heard of him.
What kind of music?
He's an American singer, songwriter, and guitarist. He is known for his solo career and his work with the band The 400 Unit.
What is that?
I think he's a
never
country
heard
guy.
Of him.
His genre is country. He's from Green Hill, Alabama.
Oh, okay,
so
go.
I was about, yeah. I mean, I know that Lance likes to go watch little bit of country concerts at the honky-tonk and have a little cold beer.
Well done, B.
Four out of five. That's pretty good.
You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, just give us our flowers at 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Did the Texans this past year have a top five draft class in 2022? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, big weekend coming up of sports, and we know the NFL with the playoffs getting down to the divisional round. Lots of games to watch, lots of opportunities to win money. The only place I encourage you to do is mybookie.ag because you know if you're trying to make money, you're just making the game a little bit more interesting. Mybookie.ag is the only place I steer you to because if you use the promo code BET975, you can reap benefits more than just putting money down and hoping you win the game. You bet $50 or more, up to $2,000, you can get a cash bonus instantly in your account, which means more money you can play with. On top of that, if you bet that bonus amount once, you can cash it out. And you can put it in your pocket. You don't have to keep playing it like at other sites and other opportunities that do betting. This is a no strings attached MyBookie promotion. MyBookie.ag, bet 975. Whatever you put in, over $50 and up to $2,000, you'll see a nice little extra in your account. Whatever that extra amount is, if you bet it once and you win it, You can take it out. You can do with it as you like, because that's the way they do their business, taking care of their customers. You can bet on the NFL and all the games this weekend, as well as UFC, NBA, college basketball. Maybe you want to get involved in their weekly online blackjack tournaments. It's all fair play, and it's all part of MyBookie.ag. With so many brands to choose from and so many platforms out there, you can go wherever you want to place a bet, but the best place to do it, the one that takes care of you the most, MyBookie.ag. Get started right now. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It's the best deposit deal in the industry. As I always tell you, you bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I was just marveling at my performance on Who Said It. That's the best I've ever performed.
It's also
the best I've ever
the hardest
performed.
To deal with when we succeed, because I was a good teammate. I went along. I made strategic decisions. We actually could have been even better, so there's room to improve.
You did a great job.
You're gloating.
You did a great job getting out of the way and letting me shine. You're a great teammate. You're passing the ball all over the place. It's great. There's not an I in team, but there's an MA in that.
Oh, there sure is.
You know what? That's in all sincerity, that's the best I've ever done when it wasn't the memory game.
Yeah, but the memory game you killed too.
But
so
the memory,
you've been hot lately.
That was kind of playing to my strengths. This one, like, I'm the reason that I'm marveling at it is because I surprised myself. I surprised myself. I went from a scrub to a star. Daniel Jeremiah just put out his mock draft. We got to figure out a compelling way to do mock draft radio. But he has Will Levis at number 4. So another dude that has Will Levis in the top 5, yet people want to pretend like he does not exist, like that he's not a real person. Just putting that out there. That's the 2023 draft, though. Looking at the 2022 draft, ESPN put together this a top 5 draft classes in 2022 based on productions, based on the value of their contributions as determined by Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders and Alex Vigderman from Sports Information Solutions. So they probably just counted volume, right? They figured out a way to quantify production, and then they counted up that production, weighted as volume, and their top 5 that they had, top 5 draft classes in 2022, the Houston Texans made the list. The Houston Texans made the list. They were 5th, according to these folks.
Okay.
The best draft classes in 2022. Seattle was number 1. Seattle had 1 first-round draft pick. The Jets were 2nd. They had 3 first-round draft picks. Kansas City was 3rd. They had 2 late first-round draft picks. Tennessee was 4th, 1 mid-round draft pick. And the Houston Texans were 5th, who had the 3rd and the 13th.
Seattle went O-line, right?
And they drafted Charles Cross.
Yep.
The Texans had 3-13. Remember, traded down from 13 to 15.
Who did Tennessee take?
Tennessee drafted Treylon Burks, Roger McCreary, the corner,
to replace AJ
Nicholas Petit Ferrer, Malik Williams, Hassan Haskins.
Okay.
Look, Chigogosum,
I think that we've gone back and forth.
Yeah, I'm surprised by Tennessee, by the way.
I was too.
I don't know how they got that production.
I guess
McCreary.
As it relates to the Texans, I don't think either one of us has said it was a bad draft. I think that from day to day, as we go back, and obviously you can scrutinize the 2 first-round picks, but as much as you want to kind of poo-poo on them, but you can't close the door after 1 year, you also have to give them their flowers when you talk about your best offensive player was your 4th-round draft pick this season, and the fact that Petrie played his tail off, and that you know the other guys, when they saw the field and once you got them out there, showed you that they're really, really good. So Christian Harris was a guy that I was a big fan of. Couldn't wait to get him on the field. When he got on the field, he didn't disappoint me. He was all over the field.
He was good.
So I definitely think it was a top 5 draft class. I think that there's the ability within that they could actually get better, because we never saw Mechie. If we see Mechie, and Mechie gets even close to what people thought he could be when he came out, even if he's your slot receiver and he's a starter, it's a big win. So I agree with that they're top 5, and I think that they could slide up depending on where you have him in the top 5. Depending on in the next year or two, some of the progress that we see either out of Stingley and Green and or if Mechie really becomes a contributor.
I have a bit of a different takeaway on this, quite honestly. I don't dislike the 2022 draft class at all. I don't. I think that Nick Casario did a pretty good job. We can nitpick Stingley sauce. We even have sauce receipts, but we're also not going to grade a cornerback on his first year in the NFL, especially in a scheme that did not fit him. Kenyon Green didn't have a great rookie year, up and down, showed flashes, showed a lot of bad stuff. The second round, like what he got later in the draft was the best pieces. Like Jalen Petrie had the best rookie year. Christian Harris, after he got back from injury, had a good rookie year. Damian Pierce showed that he might be the bell cow running back for this team for the next three seasons after this one. So there's a lot of good things that come from this draft. The problem that I have with this, calling this, like, and I like, if you want to say the Texans had a top five draft class, like, great, whatever. But whenever you enter the draft with the third pick and the 13th pick, top five is the baseline. Like, if you have the third and 13th pick of the draft, and then you have a lousy roster where you have to play your rookies, you're guaranteeing your rookies at bats and snaps, and they have to play. And this is a counting stat here. They're trying to put a volume of production. So whenever you have rookies and you draft them and you have a lousy roster and you're committed to playing the rookies, well, you're automatically going to rise with the way they're calculating this. When you have the third and 13th pick of an NFL draft, you should be no lower than five. So the Texans being five on this list isn't a feather in the cap. It's nothing to hang your hat on. This is what you should have been. In fact, I would say five is kind of low. If you have the third and 13th pick of a draft and you're on a roster that they have to play, they're guaranteed to play, you should be finishing in the top three.
I disagree, simply because of the fact that we've seen this in a lot of cases. It takes some time to develop sometimes. And sometimes if you're put in, and a lot of it relates to sometimes with quarterbacks put in their bad situation of you don't have an offensive line, you don't have enough weapons around you. So that theory can backfire on you. But I think that it's better to say, I always want to evaluate the draft class after a couple of years.
I like four. Four is my number because that's the rookie contract.
And I think that's inaccurate. I was going to say three. But in 3 to 4 years, you're truly going to get a really good benchmark idea of what you have and who you have on your roster. So it's a little premature to go through after one season, just like it's real easy. And we knew and we predicted this right from the jump that we were going to compare Stingley and Sauce all year long. And that's what everybody did. But after 1 year, round one goes to Sauce. But that doesn't mean that the fight's over.
No.
So I think that as it relates to all those picks, it's easy because you're right. They should see the field immediately, the two first round picks. But with the people around them and with the fact that they still have to develop on the next level, that it's an unfair science, I guess, because
right,
you can't.
You have to have the conversation, though. Like, I agree with you that the full evaluation needs to be on whatever window you want to give it. 3 years, I think, is a fair one. I like 4 years because it's literally the rookie contract. First rounders can get the fifth-year option. But I like looking at it in those four-year spans, which, I mean, again, like there should be a large sample size. But you're also going to talk about a rookie class at the end of the year.
Sure.
You're also going to talk about, well, what does this rookie class look like for the Houston Texans? So whenever you're drafting 3 and 13, you should be finishing at least top 5. Like, fifth on this list isn't something special.
But
the Houston Texans this year have 2 and 12. Like, Nick Casario has the second pick, 12th pick, he has 11 total picks. This same list next year, the Texans finish fifth when you have the second and 12th pick? That's a disappointment.
Okay, but it's quite possible because, you know, God forbid, but if you take the next coming of Zach Wilson, come in with a whole bunch of hype train and then crap the bed, well, then guess what? You're not making the top five. It's almost instantaneously, with as important of a position as quarterback is, it is entirely possible that you made the pick that everybody believed was the right pick at the time, whichever the quarterback may be. And let's just, for the sake of argument, say it's Bryce Young, because that's the most talked about quarterback in the class. If you take Bryce Young and he craps the bed and gets crushed and everything, you know, starts to come true of all the naysayers about Bryce Young, then you're not going to finish in the top five no matter what else you do the rest of the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it, too. But, some of these teams ahead of the Texans, why did they have more production than the Texans? Like, the Seahawks had the 9th pick, didn't have another first rounder. The Texans had 3 and 13 entering the draft, and Seattle had more production from their rookie class. The Jets, I understand. The Jets had 4, 10, and 26, and they also hit a home run with Sauce after you passed on Sauce. Kansas City had 2 late first. They had 21 and 30. You had 3 and 13. Why is Kansas City having more production than you are? Tennessee had 1 first, 18th. Their first pick came 5 picks after what you entered the draft with, yet they had more production. I don't think fifth this isn't a positive thing for the Houston Texans, in my opinion.
But to me, the bigger thing to me is I don't care where other people see this. I care the productivity that these guys are bringing to the roster and to the team on a play-by-play basis. And from what I saw, I firmly believe these guys are going to be key contributors for the next 5 years. I believe that in a lot of guys are going to get better. Maybe all of them are going to get better. And so I saw enough to say that that's why I'm very pleased with the draft that they had. Other people have differing opinions. A lot of people are focused, like I said, on the first round picks. But because of Petrie, because of Pierce, because of the possibilities of Mechie and the way Harris developed, I understand there's some reservations about the first round picks, but I like the rest of the draft.
I like the rookie class. I just don't think that the Texans finishing fifth on some sort of valuation is positive.
You know, hang a wreath on it and celebrate. I'm just trying to say I like what they did.
Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com, he might join us next. We were going to have him yesterday. He didn't join us. We'll see if he joins us this time. See if he jumps up on the Rosenthal power rankings above Ken. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Yeah, before we go to the break, I want to talk about the good people at Paolo Men's Health. I was there bright and early this morning. Doc O and his staff always treat you with a ton of kindness, and they're always focused on your results. The fact that my blood pressure has been good, and it has been good, and my family has a history of high blood pressure is the first encouraging stat. But then when you do the things like you do the full body composition analysis, or I do the B12 shot every week to get a little bit more energy, and you realize that you're feeling good, your numbers are good, and that makes you really attack the day with a lot more confidence. That's why I continue to go and to Apollo Men's Health and sing the praises of Apollo Men's Health, because they take care of people on a daily basis. For some people, they want to go a little step further. They need a lot more energy in their life, and they're not trying to win a gold medal. They're trying to win the day. In order to do so, they might explore hormone therapy and the many different ways that you can administer it. You can do it yourself at home. They can do it for you. For both men and women that have a busy schedule, you can get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. Only got to go in once every 6 months, but you reap the benefits on a daily basis. It's great. Go basically see all the services they offer, because they have things for you to recover quicker after the gym. They have those full body composition analysis that I'm talking about that I do, where I can chart my progress and all the different ways you can get more energy in your life. Check them out by going to ApolloMH.com. If some of those services look intriguing to you and you think they might help you, set up an appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot on your first official visit. And you could reap the benefit of that, or try one of those B12 shots on me and see if you feel energy in the week that is to come after getting the B12 shot. All I'm telling you is they're very much focused on making a better you on a daily basis. And so if you identify where you're struggling, they'll identify a plan that works. They'll get you the results you need. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Check out my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being joined by my favorite Rosenthal, Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com. Greg, thanks for taking a few minutes this afternoon to hang out with the Killer Bees. This Houston Texans situation is it's interesting to say the least. It has been a debacle these last couple of years. They fired Lovie Smith, second straight one-year head coach that's one and done. Immediately put a coaching search together. Lots of Zoom meetings with Sean Payton, and who knows what D'Amico Ryan's going through all like this, whether he's in person, whether he's in Zoom. Question I have for you, Greg, is how seriously are people taking the Houston Texans as being anything more than a laughingstock?
Well, I think Sean Payton's taking them seriously, and if Sean Payton takes the job, then everyone else will take them seriously. Definitely not an organization, you know, from the top down that's made a lot of smart, forward-thinking decisions over the last 5 years, especially the last 2 years. But I do think Payton's interest is real. I'm not sure how it totally mixes with Nick Caserio. I don't think that's really the McNair's problem. But I think they have a legitimate shot at getting Peyton, and if that happens, then I think it changes everything.
What is the attraction we've seen, Greg, the different people that are coming out there saying it's the most attractive, it's the least attractive, it's one of the, you know, what? How attractive is this job, and is it because of the draft capital and the, you know, the five picks in the first three rounds and the fact that they really didn't miss? You can debate how much they won the draft, but they had a good draft a year ago, and it seems like they finally got this thing going in the right direction.
I don't know about the right direction. I just think it's the picks, the money, and the record last year, how bad they are. I mean, I think Sean Payton remembers what his mentor, Bill Parcells, used to say. He's like, you know, you want to be taking over a team when they're at their lowest. You get to be the hero. There's only one way here, and it's up. And I think they look at an infrastructure that if he gets the money that he wants, the fan base is obviously great. I think everyone knows around the league, like, that place is one of the loudest places in the league when it's going well. And if he gets to basically do what he wants, he's talked about that the quarterback is less important to him than the structure and ownership. Now, I don't know if that's an asset on paper for Houston, but I'm just kind of figuring that Sean Payton's going to be able to dictate the terms that he wants in terms of how the structure would be.
Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but I didn't love the whole Colin Cowherd saying that ownership matters a whole lot after they had dinner the night before, and he said that you can tell dysfunction over Zoom. And the only Zoom interview that Sean Payton has had is with the Houston Texans. That's concerning for me. Now, another interview would eliminate that thought. If Sean Payton and the Texans had dinner Monday night in Houston, you can throw that out the window, and he certainly wasn't talking about the Texans. I think we have to wait to kind of figure out what's going on with that. I'm curious, Greg. Greg Rosenthal joining us, NFL.com, does a great job covering the NFL. I'm curious how much you've started to look at the top of the draft. April 27th, still plenty of time to do that, months away here. But what are some names, if you have started to look at the draft, that you love that maybe some other people do not?
No, very little. I'm strictly on watching this like coach's film for the games that are mattering and playing now, because we got two or three months to do that. And you know, I know enough to know that Bryce Young's gonna, if he's not the first pick taken, he's gonna be the second pick taken. And if he is the first pick taken, there'll be a lot of conversations for the next 3 months. Whether Stroud is CJ Stroud is worth that number two pick.
So, okay, with that being said, looking at the playoff this weekend too, Greg, I'm curious because it seems like everybody is not believing the Philadelphia Eagles, no matter how much they were the leader in the clubhouse basically the whole year in the NFC. A lot of people's sexy pick is the Niners and saying the Niners are going to be in the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts not on the injury report this week. It's a massive game, obviously, and it can make a big statement. How do you see that going, and how do you see the Eagles kind of rested and healthy going into this game?
Yeah, it's tough. There's always a question this time of year. What matters more, your form over the last month or what you've shown over the course of the season in your depth chart? Because to me, the Eagles are way more talented than the Giants. They're thought of as kind of this analytics-heavy team, and yet what they really are massive and deep up front. I think that's what their analytics department have really focused on, that these $10, $15 million contracts they get to offensive linemen, defensive linemen are the best money spent that you can have, and they're deep on both sides of the ball there. And I think they can just overwhelm the Giants. If Hurts isn't himself, if Lane Johnson, their right tackle, isn't truly himself coming off injuries, that gives the Giants a chance. But I think I'm more bullish on the Eagles than most.
I kind of look at the offensive line in play, too, in the Cincinnati-Buffalo game. Like, I know that those were the two teams that are at the very top of the AFC, certainly Kansas City in the mix there. I think a lot of times when we look at handicapping games, look at Vegas spreads, I think a lot of times the offensive line and the injuries in that offensive line come into play. I'm worried from a Cincinnati perspective they're going to be without two of their five offensive linemen at Buffalo this weekend.
Yeah, I think you've hit on something absolutely true. Lines do move off of offensive linemen, and so for them to lose, you know, those starters in the playoffs and in week 18 is just devastating for a team who had really improved. I do think Burrow is in a better position this year to survive it than he was a year ago, and I know they made it all the way to the Super Bowl the year ago, and I think they could again because he gets rid of the ball quicker, and he's just managed to avoid hits in a lot better fashion. I think he's grown up a lot between last year and this year. It's almost been underrated. So to me, the fact that they are 5.5-point underdogs is wild. I thought they were a better team going into that Bills-Bengals game a few weeks ago, which was tragically cut short. Now with the injuries, I feel like on a neutral field, I'd even still give them the slight edge. But to me, like 5.5 points, for instance, I don't think there's that big of a gap between these two teams.
Okay, Greg, now I got to ask you the question that everybody, again, because the sexy pick is the Niners, do we see the clock strike midnight and a different Brock Purdy this week? Or does Mr. Irrelevant continue to become more relevant by the week and impress everybody in the fact that they missed on a quarterback that looks like he may be the leader in the clubhouse to be the solution for the Niners at QB?
Yeah, I think he is going to be that guy next year for them. And I just have a hard time picking against the 49ers right now in this game. But I do think the Cowboys are one of the only teams in the NFL that can match them pretty well, talent for talent. I mean, you look at the Cowboys' offensive line, they've had some shuffling pieces. They still have a couple future Hall of Famers there on the right side. They have a number one receiver in CeeDee Lamb. They have a great, great running back in Tony Pollard. They have the best quarterback in this game, and they've been the number two defense in the NFL this year. If you look at, like, EPA per play, number one in San Francisco. So I'm not saying the 49ers aren't going to win. I did pick them, but I think it's going to be close. The Eagles, or the Cowboys, rather, are just such a hard team to predict. But I think both those games Sunday, when you look at Bills, Bengals, and then 49ers, Cowboys, to me, like, any one of those four teams can win the Super Bowl. I'd throw the Chiefs and Eagles certainly in that mix. And that's why you love divisional round games, is sometimes you got two teams that could either go all the way, but one of them is going to lose.
Yeah, some compelling matchups for sure. Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com, our guest on the HRMP guest line. Does Tom Brady play football next year, and where?
I would guess Vegas if I had to just pick one. That's just something I've been saying, thinking for months, and I don't think he's going to retire. And I know the Raiders ownership was very interested in him last time around, and John Gruden wasn't. And the fact that same owner's there, and oh, by the way, so is Josh McDaniels, and they're looking for a quarterback, it just makes too much sense to me.
All right, well, then we'll follow it up, Greg. Aaron Rodgers plays next year, plays for the Packers next year, or moves on. Because the one thing that I've kind of, in my investigation and what I've been told is that this renegotiated contract, this $3 and $150 he signed, it's almost impossible to trade him for, and it's a death sentence for both teams. It's basically a player go away. What's going on in Green Bay?
Yeah, it's hard to get inside the mind of Aaron Rodgers. We spend all offseason doing that just based on precedent and the fact that I think he believes, and I think he's right, that he was playing at a high enough level to keep playing, that once he gets away from the craziness of the season, he'll be ready to go. I think the Packers will want him back. I don't think they'll be looking to trade.
Greg, we appreciate you taking a few minutes, hanging out with us. Great stuff as always. Love following your work. Catch up again down the road, I hope.
Appreciate you guys. See ya.
All right, Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com joining us on the Killer Bee. 713-780-ESPN. I want to get to some of the NFL stuff that Greg touched on. Also, I don't think Lamar Jackson wants to run the football anymore. I'll tell you what I mean next. Killer Bee's ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are you familiar with PK's game?
PK's game?
Yeah, PK. Play soccer. International star. Andrew Carlson, I'm sure, knows all about him.
Oh, with a Q, PK?
Yeah, P-I-Q-U-E with the little accent above it.
PK. I'm not going to lie to you. No, I'm not.
he was dating Shakira. And
I thought she was married.
I mean, that would be a whole other
Hips
issue.
Don't lie, right?
I don't think she was married when she was dating PK most recently. I'm pretty sure Shakira is not a married woman.
So she's moved on, and now...
Maybe she was married.
Okay.
I'm not that familiar with Shakira. But anyways... She was with PK for 12 years. Maybe they were married, or maybe they were just in a relationship that was like common law. Anyways, PK cheated on Shakira.
Okay.
PK cheated on Shakira. Do you know how Shakira found out that PK cheated on her?
I do not.
Strawberry jam.
What?
Strawberry jam. She figured out by strawberry jam that PK cheated on her.
She was gone. I'll bite. Explain,
she
please.
Was
not
gone.
The strawberry jam, but I'll bite.
Well, the strawberry jam is very important to the
all
story.
Right.
She was gone. She was gone for a period of time. I don't know how long she was gone. She was gone for a period of time. And when she came home, she noticed that somebody had been eating the strawberry jam. PK has never had jam in his entire life. He doesn't eat the stuff. He doesn't eat strawberry jam. Shakira figured out that by somebody eating the strawberry jam, that PK was fooling around outside of their relationship.
Can I do a little bit deeper dive, please, sir?
That's the dive.
They're very wealthy, correct?
Yes,
is there a chance that they have help?
I have no idea. Is the help?
You might have a nanny.
Is the help?
You might have cleaning service.
Is the help going through their refrigerator?
They might. You might. I know plenty of people that have...
If it's a live-in nanny.
Live-in nannies,
okay,
and
that's
cleaning
now,
ladies
we're making
and things like that.
Huge reaches now. We're
well,
just making,
but I think it's a reach to say that a guy cheated on a girl
nanny.
Because the strawberry jam got
he
used.
He was cheating on her, though. So it's not a reach, it's a conclusion.
So that's been verified.
that you cheated on her? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty well. I mean, I don't keep up with the tabloids, but I think it's pretty well documented. That,
evidently more than me, because I was going to say, if this is just still up in the air for discussion, then I would say, well, you know what? Like, my first year.
They broke up a long time ago. Like, this happened like last summer. But the stories of how she caught him are just now circulating. Strawberry jam.
Okay.
PK doesn't eat the strawberry jam. Somebody had messed with the strawberry jam. It was the other lady.
They got kids?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, the nanny could have made a PB&J for the kids.
You're starting to make a lot of excuses
here. I'm not making excuses.
You're defending the honor of a man that was cheating out of his relationship with Shakira. That's what you're doing.
Oh, my God. I want James Harden back with the Rockets.
It's what you're doing.
This is simply the
same
direction.
Maybe it was the live-in maid. Maybe it was a kid if they have a kid. You're making a lot of excuses for PK.
I think it's weak sauce for a woman to draw a conclusion based on the jam without actually digging a little deeper to figure out what might have really happened before you accuse someone.
It could have been a friend over. It could have been parents
over.
Yeah,
there's a lot of scenarios that could have played out.
Blankers and BMAC defending the honor of a man who was stepping out in Shakira. It's what's happening right now.
The only reason why you're standing this hard on this soapbox is because you know the end result. You know that he was caught, which I didn't know. I'm just saying, before you go and incriminate someone, you probably need a little bit more verification.
I understand what you're saying, but all that happened. He was cheating on her.
That's truly how she found out. That's crazy.
You told us off the air when I make comments about you eating soup every day that your wife finds soup to be boring, correct?
Yeah.
So if you came home and all your soup was gone, are you automatically jumping to she's cheating on me?
I would think there was somebody else in the house, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
If that's where your head goes to, I just don't go to that immediately.
She's not going to eat my soup. Somebody else must have.
That could be a family member.
Is there anything that you don't like that's in your house? You know, canned good food in your fridge, anything like that? There probably is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, if all of a sudden, you know, your wife was gone for a period of time, she came back and that was gone, what do you think she would
think
in the house?
My parents, we have in-laws that are watching the baby. It could have been one of them. I would immediately jump to
a lot of defending.
Cheating on me.
A lot of defending PK. Sleazeball. All right.
My God.
You don't think he is? You don't think PK is?
I don't know. You told me he already is, but you're like already drawing conclusions on us just because I'm trying to see if we can get a fair shake here.
You just made the point. You already know the ending. If you didn't know the ending, then why are you jumping to that conclusion?
Y'all didn't know that PK cheated on Shakira?
I didn't know the hell he was.
You put in the rundown.
I thought she was married.
You didn't know who PK was?
No. The same way you wouldn't even indulge in a conversation with me about Shakira and J-Lo and who? Jennifer Lopez.
J-Lo?
Oh, I was going to say Jennifer Lopez, but J-Lo. And I got caught between. But like, you wouldn't have that conversation. But I'm supposed to know who Shakira is not married to, but dating a year ago. And I didn't even know that she wasn't married.
You just need to be a little more cultured.
I know J-Lo married Ben Affleck.
You need to be a little more cultured with your sports life. You know, PK
is... I'm just not a soccer guy, and I admit that.
That's it. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about football. You know about football?
Before we talk about football, can we talk about another story I saw that was absolutely, like, too much time on my hands, the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life? There was a female that decided that tattoos and piercings wasn't enough and tattooed the whites of her eyes completely black.
Yeah, that's too much.
That makes me cringe.
The fact, wasn't too concerned about if it might impair her vision.
I can't deal with that. Like, eyes, anything to my eyes, and I had LASIK, I'm surprised I did this. Anything that, like, comes to my eye makes me, like, kind of
just
fidgety.
The thought of the tattoo artist willing to go and attempt that was too much for me. Seeing a picture of it, and I'm like, the hell's going through your mind? You got nothing better to do, and you think that tattooing the whites of your eyes.
Oh, man.
Ugh.
Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that.
No, I mean,
you shouldn't be
for
doing
me,
that.
Anything above the neck for tattoos is already weird enough. If you got the neck or the face, like the Tyson thing, but white to the eyes is just a different level.
I'm worried about the vision.
That's what I'm worried about, the vision.
Like, if you want to do
with
tats,
you even on the whole
whatever.
Laser
yeah.
thing, that's a bit much, but it works, right? But
yeah, it
the fact
great
that
for
just
me.
For as a hobby and for craps and giggles, you're going to tattoo your eyeballs. Or around your eyeball? No, thank you.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. That's not
I mean, if you're the tattoo part of it, I can't even believe you'd agree to do
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I mean, that seems like a liability.
I'm in pain just thinking about it.
Nothing says that that could go wrong.
We got to change the topic. Oh, this is, I don't like this. This kind of, you know, makes me cringe a bit. Lamar Jackson. I don't think Lamar Jackson wants to run the football anymore, Blankers. The Ravens fired Greg Roman.
Well, they fired him. Then it was a parting of the ways, regardless of whatever
it is.
He's
no longer going
to
work here.
The guy that actually completely redid his playbook to appease Lamar Jackson is gone.
Why? Like, why do you think that has happened? I think it has something to do with Lamar Jackson not liking the offensive system. Baltimore has already said that they want Lamar Jackson back, and Harbaugh already said that Lamar Jackson's going to have input on who the offensive coordinator is. I think Lamar Jackson kind of got Greg Roman fired, if I'm being completely honest with you. And if you're moving on from Greg Roman, and Lamar Jackson's going to have input on who your new offensive coordinator is, I think Lamar Jackson's tired of running the football.
I think it's a possibility, but I think more so what it speaks to is something that we've talked about previously about whether he'll be back or not. They went out in that press conference, and Harbaugh basically was as adamant as I've ever heard him since this whole scenario started playing out that we want Lamar Jackson. He actually said, we like Lamar, and Lamar likes us. Well, why didn't you get a deal done yet? I mean, he didn't even have an agent. Go get the deal done. But the fact that, because the first thing I thought of, well, they're going with a whole different style, and they're moving on from Lamar if they're moving on from Greg Roman, because he was the guy that got Lamar Jackson the success by tailoring the entire playbook around Lamar Jackson. The fact that he's gone, I would think, is a red flag against having him back, but they're trying to say this is a way maybe that we retailer everything yet again for Lamar Jackson. It's an interesting scenario. I'm fascinated.
Could it be for
his
contract? Maybe he thinks that the reason the Ravens aren't willing to give him a big long-term contract is fear of getting injured because of running.
I don't think.
Maybe he wants to pass more to help guarantee a bigger long-term contract.
But if they're so committed to Lamar Jackson to where he's basically going to pick the next offensive coordinator, I think they're going to pay him regardless. And if he gets paid, he shouldn't have a problem running, right? If he gets this Deshaun Watson contract, you got the Deshaun Watson contract. You have all of that money. I just don't think he wants to run the ball anymore. I think he wants to throw the ball. OG on Twitch, how stupid are these franchises that let the quarterback run the team? I agree with OG. Like, I think letting the quarterback pick the head coach, pick the offensive coordinator is like letting the first grader pick their teacher. Like, they're going to pick somebody that doesn't have any discipline, that lets them do whatever they want, that doesn't challenge them with, like, learning, like, reading, any sort of math. Like, if Kyler Murray's picking the head coach for the Arizona Cardinals, I have zero faith in the Arizona Cardinals being good at football. Same thing here. Like, if Lamar Jackson's picking his offensive coordinator because he wants to cater his game to a certain way, I think Greg Roman had a perfect system for Lamar Jackson.
He
goes out and picks Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to throw the ball 40 times a game, I don't think he's going to have that same success. I agree. Like, the quarterback should not be making the decisions of the organization, because the quarterback's going to be looking for the best interest of himself, not for the team.
But it's the dangerous slippery slope that's been created throughout the sport in the fact that, and Deshaun had a big role in it too, but we've seen it. We saw it before Deshaun. We've obviously seen it a ton more since, in that the franchises not only are bending over backwards, but now they're giving up control of where they normally and traditionally have always had it to try and appease said best players. It makes me cringe, and it makes me sick to my stomach, and I can't stand what has happened in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady always was the poster child for me of a guy that took less money and stayed out of the way more so than anybody of his stature should. Mm-hmm. But I think now we're seeing the exact opposite even more, and it just continues to get worse and worse. And I don't know when it ends, but I think it's a bad trend. It's a bad trend to continue to stay on trying to think that it's in the best interest of your franchise. I think the biggest thing with Baltimore, it's fine did you want to resurrect the playbook and do it a different way and try and appease Lamar. The best way to appease Lamar is give him weapons. You know, he's obviously made really good use of a tight end that can catch. So I think he would do the same if he had a really true wide receiver one and a lot more wide receivers to go to. We know they can run the football. But give them some weapons and then let an offensive coordinator, I don't care who it is, go to town. But the fact that they keep trading away the weapons that he's had that he's used in the past, and the only guy that he's been able to consistently go to is Andrews. If you really want to appease both Lamar and have the franchise win and maybe win more, give him more weapons.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that he's going to have a say in the OC and that Roman's no longer there. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be playing football against the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow. The latest athlete to put his foot in his mouth.
Obviously, the environment and the atmosphere we're going to play in is one of, if not the best in the NFL. I mean, I can't imagine it'll be much louder than our fans were here on Saturday, honestly. But that was when we were on defense, not offense. So we played there earlier in the year, but this is a little bit different. You know, it's a playoff game, divisional round.
All right, he says that it's not going to be louder at Arrowhead than it was at Jacksonville. Like, whatever. Who cares if it's not? I personally don't care about bulletin board material. I think it's all a myth. If Kansas City needed Trevor Lawrence to provide them bulletin board material, I would question Kansas City's, like, actual contendership as a Super Bowl contender.
Well, but, again, it's a learning experience, right? You got to learn from this. Someone's got to be able to sit down and start
Probably with... Probably should have said it.
Yeah, he shouldn't have said it, and the PR department should sit down with him and say... Hey, man, look, this is the same way where Baker Mayfield learned the hard way. You don't talk about another man's money and contracts in the locker room. This is another one of those, like, handbook of professional athletes. Don't stir it up if it ain't there. You're the underdog. You're going up against a pretty big opponent. Don't give them any more than they need, whether they use it or not.
All right, it's it for us. Thanks to BMAC for doing all of the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.